today. How many visitors have we got in the building today? Anyone visiting? I know there were a bunch from New Zealand Army. They look like, I'd say, New Zealand Army, are we? All? Some? Yeah? Good. Haircuts, give it away. Anyone else visiting in with us for Easter? A few down here. I see some at the back and that. So welcome today. Welcome to our service. Welcome to be part of us. Just relax and enjoy our time with us. After the service, I'm just going to speak for a little while. That's great, Bruce. Just if you keep going, buddy, don't stop. I'll just keep talking. Marvellous. I just don't want him to stop. If I don't say anything, he'll be gone. I'll go, oh, that was so nice. So after the service today, the cafe is going to be open and there's hot cross buns and hot drinks out there. So you're welcome to join us afterwards. I just want to speak for a few minutes and I gotta be honest. This week has been really hard. Like, I've just been kind of thinking through a whole bunch of things through the week and thinking about what could I share, you know? It's such an important time and there's so many things that you can share, but what can I share? And so I've just been kind of thinking about Jesus. And I hear you say it's a strange thing to think about on Easter Friday. But I've been thinking about why he came and what he did for us and why we live today as a result of that. So I just want to start by just reading a piece out of John 18, and it says, "Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover." The Passover was a special feast that Israel would have to remember a time when they were in slavery, and it was a meal that they had the night before they came out of slavery. So it was very important to them. They wouldn't understand how symbolic this was to what was about to happen. Pilate came out and asked them, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" And they said, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Then Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. You see, this meal that I was talking about was called the Passover. And the main menu of the Passover was a lamb that had been taken into the family and kept as part of the family for 4 days and then slaughtered and cooked, roasted, and then eaten. And what they didn't realize was Jesus was about to be that lamb. He was about to take, metaphorically and spiritually, the place of that physical lamb, and he was about to become the sacrifice that would allow people to come out of bondage. So today I'm here to remember Jesus. And the first thing that I need to recognize is the fact that it was never meant to be this way. You know, you read 1 Genesis and God created mankind and he walked in the garden with them. He would come, the Bible says, come, and he would walk in the cool of the afternoon with Adam and Eve, and he would talk with them in the garden. But because of situations that happened and their choices and that, sin came into the world, sin came into their lives and came into this world, and separation came between God and them. And it's been that way forever until Jesus came and brought us back to God again. So God needed to have a solution to this situation, and Jesus was at the beginning to provide that solution. The Bible says that everything that was made was created through Jesus, and without him, nothing was made. So everything came through him, that he became our light, the light that would lead us back to God. Isn't that cool? That he would be the living word. And he would live amongst us, teaching us about this thing called the kingdom of God, God's principles, God's ways, and demonstrating them and living them out. And then at the very end, he would lay down his life as a sacrifice. And he knew that. At the end of Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, you know, Passover's in 2 days, and the Son of Man, that was what he called himself, will be handed over to be crucified. So I'm just going to read through some of the scripture. I've already read that the Jewish leaders took Jesus to Caiaphas. They had a little kind of trial there and decided he was guilty and should be put to death. And then they took him to Pilate, who said, what charges do you bring against him? And Pilate took him in and started examining Jesus. And he went back out to them 3 times. And he said, I find nothing wrong, no charges for death. And every time he came out and said, there's nothing, he's done nothing worthy of death. They said, we want to kill him, crucify him, crucify him. And it records in the book of John that Pilate realized that Jesus had done nothing wrong, and he actually became scared of the situation, fearful. And it said that from that moment on, he tried to save Jesus. He tried not to avoid any way to be caught up in this political situation of trying to put Jesus to death. But he became so fearful that a riot would occur, and when the Jews started saying, you know, if you don't do it, you're an enemy of Caesar. He became scared and he handed Jesus over to be crucified. And so it says, finally Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, who was carrying his own cross. He went to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him 2 others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into 4 shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one place from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Then Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, we just think that's the author, John, standing nearby, he said to her, this is Jesus talking to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And to John, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have their legs broken so that their bodies could be taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus, they found he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw this has given testimony, and this testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. That's John who wrote this, who saw it, saying, "It is true. It is true. I saw it. You should believe." I was thinking about this and all the sacrifice that Jesus gave. And the only challenge that I have for all of us, myself included, is if Jesus gave up everything for us, what will we give up for him? If he gave us his life to bring life to us, will we give up our life to live for him? And that's something I leave with you to think about. It's a decision we all need to make, how we choose to respond to what Jesus did. But the person with the microphone is going to live for Jesus. How about I pray? And the band can come back. Thanks. Father, I come to you. We read out this. We consider the great price that Jesus paid for us, that we could become your kids, that we could live for you. And Father, we don't take it lightly. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the fact he was willing to come. I just pray for every single person here, myself included, that we would walk, that we wouldn't walk past this, but we would be willing to give ourselves to you in the same way that Jesus was willing to give himself to us. That we would give our lives fully, unsurrendered, give out everything, run our race for you. Father, in Jesus' name. The good news is that Jesus would rise. And so on Sunday, today we remember his death, the great price that he paid. And on Sunday, Bruce McKibbitt comes and he does the second part of this, which is, today we remember, but Sunday we dance. Today we remember, but Sunday we dance. Sunday is a day of great joy, great excitement. But I can be excited now. You can be excited now, can't we? Because we already know that Jesus, we don't need to be down. But we come at this moment to recognize the great stuff that Jesus did for us so that we don't forget about that stuff. And we honor him. And we tell others about the great stuff that he did. So my encouragement to us all is to live for Jesus, to put him first in our lives. And I'm going to leave you with that. Ben's going to sing a song, and afterwards you're welcome to join us in the cafe.